Hello there, and thank you for listening to the Baker's Dozen edition of AAA Physical Therapy's collaboration mindset for health and wellness. And again, this is your host, Manuel. And again, we are very much thankful to Dragon Digital Radio at Howard Community College. And for today's session, we will discuss about stress management. And Matt, and I'm sure you have seen his pictures with all the things that we've been doing with all of our other podcasts, he will actually join us to go ahead and talk more about stress management. And for you listeners out there, you may be thinking, why are we talking about stress management for this specific program? Well, let me share a little bit more about my background. Is that I have taught psychology for over two decades now, and part of what I teach is stress management. And what we are seeing is that when we work with our patients is that sometimes there are other things that's being shared that's a little bit beyond what the physical therapists do. And so that's why we have created this Path to Wellness program, and we have these other things that we are sharing. For example, we have a yoga right now. We have a massage therapist. And hopefully we can provide other services in the future, such as acupuncture as well. But let's focus more on stress management and what we can go ahead and learn here. So in terms of stress management, Matt, let me ask you first, what is your definition of stress?
Stress probably along the lines of anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, I guess the feeling of pressure, weight weighing down on you. I guess those are mainly what I would say stresses to me.
And if that is your essay response, check all above.
Okay, cool.
So at the end of the day, this is the other thing I want to share with the listeners is that with stress, it's highly subjective. Mm-hmm. Sure, these textbooks and these authors, these researchers can go ahead and define what stress is, but stress is based on how you view things. But just like what you've identified, yes, anxiety, as I'm using the textbook of Brian Luke Seward, and we're very, very thankful to him, because if you participate to our stress management classes, we can give you a free audio file from one of his library, and then he gave us a go signal to go ahead and share it to whoever the participants are. But anyway, based on his book, Managing Stress, anxiety is indeed one of them, wherein, as you've identified, that the responsibilities are greater than the coping abilities that we have. And would you agree that loss of control is part of a definition of stress?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then as you've identified, and this is how they phrase it, is an absence of inner peace. And of course, if you think about this, and again, returning to physical therapy, if your body is breaking down, you can imagine that's adding to your stressors, right?
Yes.
Because if you think about this, I mean, at the end of the day, and this is how we view things, is that we're very appreciative of the patients coming into us. Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure it's not like, hey, I don't have anything else better to do. Yeah. Let me see my physical therapist. No, it's more of, I need to see my physical therapist because something's hurting, something's painful, or I just came from surgery or what have you.
It becomes a forced hobby.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
What I tell people.
A forced hobby. That's a good way of saying it. And that's the thing. So we're very thankful that they carve out their time and plan their busy days and busy weeks to be with us. Mm-hmm. And that's why we try to go ahead and make their experience there to be as worthwhile and meaningful as possible. But that's the thing. Returning the stress definition, if our body's wearing and tearing down, it's adding more to the stress. And that's, again, that's why we're holding these classes there. So other ways is any demand to adapt, whether it's good or bad. And this is the other thing I want to highlight, that stress can be both good or bad. Mm-hmm. And we can talk more about that later. And again, I'll return to what I've shared earlier, is a perceived threat, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, spiritual well-being. So whatever the situation is, because if you think about this, we are at Howard Community College, and this is what I tell some of my students at times, is that everybody knows an assessment is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure each student is approaching it differently. Mm-hmm. Some of them could not care less. Some of them are so super concerned to the point that they can't study anymore.
Yep.
Because it's overwhelming, as you've identified earlier. So it's the same stimulus, it's the same reality, but a person will interpret it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's where stress will go ahead and come in. All right, so that's the stress response. Now, well, let's move on to stress response. The first one is the fight or flight response. How do you understand that, Matt?
One is, you know, fight it, stand up against it. I'm going to attack this. We're just going to get through it no matter what. And flight, I like to call it like the turtle shell, you know, okay. Where it's everything's scary. I'm just going to bury my head in my body and run away from the issue or avoid the issue, ignore the issue.
Precisely. And I'm sure both of us have experienced that one shape or form.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And then to our listeners as well, go ahead and identify when did you fight a specific situation or you fleed a situation. So all of us have become students. When we are faced with an assessment or a paper to write, do we fight it? Just like what you said, let's go and stand and let's get things done.
Yep.
Or flee at that, even if I fail this, if I don't submit this, I think I'll still pass.
Oh, yeah. The reworking in your head of like, what do I need to get to, you know?
What's the bare minimum in order to meet whatever I need to go ahead and meet? Again, there's a stimuli. And when we say stimuli or stimulus is that it goes through the five senses that we have, what we see, what we smell, what we taste, and so on and so forth. And then all of those, we go and process it in our head and identifying if it's something threatening or not threatening at all.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden our body is now activated and go ahead and say, all right, let's go ahead and work on this paper now.
Mm-hmm.
Or go and do the work, whatever it is that you need to go ahead and do. Or just like what you said, get inside your shell and then binge watch whatever you want to binge watch. And then we reach that level of homeostasis where everything else becomes a little bit calm.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing here is we're constantly bombarded with stress. And maybe if there's one thing that I really want to highlight overall with these stress management classes that we will do is that it's not a matter of getting rid of stressors.
Mm-hmm.
Stressors will always be there. It's more of learning how to go ahead and cope and work with these stressors based on who we are, personality, how we process information, and so on and so forth. So let's go ahead and move on to the types of stressors. So as I mentioned earlier, there are good stress and bad stress. So a good stress is what you call eustress, and the bad stress is called distress. So when you say good stress, what is a good stress for you?
That's a tough one. I mean, good stress I could think of, I could kind of tie it into nervousness. Like say you're going on a date, you know, and like say you've met someone online and you've been talking to them and you're like, I really like them. All right. I mean, I haven't met them yet, but like so far, so good. And you're like nervous to meet them. Like, oh, are they going to think I'm too big? They're going to hate my hair. They're going to not like whatever. I feel like that could be good stress. And part of that stress is just, it's the fear of the unknown.
So that part of it, when you go out on a date, when you're going to go ahead and get married, you go ahead and identify it. When we're off the air, Matt is very explicit. Oh, if I could do radio work 24/7.
Yes. Yeah.
And this, I assume, is good stress for you.
Yes. Yes.
That with this type of work, you enjoy and you thrive here. I mean, of course, you still need to get things done, like edit the work that we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we're not giving as much of a trouble here.
Oh, no.
But returning to that is that this is good stress for you.
Yes.
Right? Because you love what you're doing. And of course, you need to get things done.
Any bit of change. I tell people that all the time. Humans are naturally, they get stuck in these systems and they get stuck in this form of what they do all the time. Any bit of change will freak you out. Any bit of change.
Change is indeed stressful.
Yeah.
And just returning to what I said earlier is that these stressors, if we're maintaining status quo forever in our history, we are not where we are right now.
Yeah.
And change is so constant, especially right now with technology, is just growing leaps and bounds right in front of us.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you're absolutely, and then returning to that, the fear of the unknown is that, because you're, and that's where we tie it up to the loss of control, is because you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know how much control you have over the outcome.
Yeah.
And then with all of these changes, you have to go ahead and unlearn something and learn something new.
Yeah.
So, all right. So those are good stressors right there. Now, to the listeners, I'm sure you can go ahead and have a laundry list of your own distressors.
Yeah.
So, something to go ahead and think about. And it's not a matter of just listing them down and that's it. And let's mull over it. But let's go ahead and start identifying how we can go ahead and address them in the most efficient and effective way.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I want to talk about regarding type of stress is that, as you've identified, the first words that you've shared earlier is about anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so there's this law, Yerkes-Dodson law, wherein there's on the x-axis, that's the horizontal line right there, is the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And it ranges from low to high. So from left, low anxiety, to high anxiety, to the right. And then on the y-axis is the performance. Okay? So when you're going out on a date, when you're going for a job interview, one way or another, you have to perform, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So this is what you need to go ahead and identify. Like, where do you need to shift that anxiety in order to perform at a high level?
Yeah.
With sports, it's the same thing. If you are going to go ahead and perform, if the anxiety is too high and you cannot perform, unless if that's what you want.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have heard of athletes that, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Yeah. The chip on your shoulder.
It's
all over the place. You know, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best examples I can think of that is a guy, his name was Courtland Finnegan.
Okay.
Most people in the NFL remember him for getting beat up by Andre Johnson.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever remember him and Andre Johnson got in this big fight on the field. They both got ejected.
Okay.
He was a guy that when he went to the Samford, not Stanford, Samford.
Samford, Samford. Yes. Yes. I know that.
He went to that college.
Uh-huh.
And when he got there, the guy who recruited him, his head coach said, have fun playing these next 4 years because this will be the last football that you ever play. He was undersized. He was a cornerback in an age in the NFL where wide receivers are huge. And he was just short, small, but he was a feisty guy. He got drafted by the Tennessee Titans. It went on to make a Pro Bowl. And it was all because of the chip on his shoulder. Much smaller than, and now, I tend to think Nate Robinson's a good idea for basketball. You like basketball. So Nate Robinson is 5'9", blocked Shaq. Blocked Yao Ming, you know. So many people told him, oh, you're not this big, so just have fun in college, but then he made it.
Yep. Some people thrive on that. You raise the anxiety level, you perform better.
Mm-hmm.
But you can imagine there are some people who needs the opposite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that, I agree.
So we talk about sports, let's go back to academics. If you're always pressuring yourself, I need to get an A, and you're not performing well, you know what? Let's view it from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Let's lessen the anxiety, and then maybe this time it will help you to go ahead and perform better. So in short, with this Yerkes-Dodson law or an inverted U hypothesis is that you go ahead and identify what the anxiety level is and how you are going to perform the best.
Yeah.
And for example, for me specifically, I am that type of person so that I need people to sort of challenge me, but actually I challenge myself more than anybody else.
Yeah.
And when I put that challenge on myself, then I know that's where I will perform.
Yeah.
But if I don't give a 2 cents of what I'm doing, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so for you listeners out there, in terms of, and as we move on to how we deal with anxiety, for example, you go ahead and find ways on how to maximize the anxiety for you to perform, or you minimize it for you to perform, and really identify where that good combination is of the anxiety level is to whatever your performance level is.
And with sports, the mental game is huge. One is, I don't know if you ever watch golf or play golf. There's a thing in golf. They call it the yips, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call it. All it is someone gets into a bad streak, right? Missing putts that they normally make, missing fairways, whatever. And it gets the yips. They get up to this point, and it's the same thing that I think that happens with baseball players when they go on like a slump with hitting, right? It's like every at bat or every tee off or every putt becomes that much more important because I've been struggling for so long. I got to put all this pressure to make this, and they make it, it kills them. You know, they end up doing so much worse, striking out on a pitch that they knew was a ball, or, you know, it's just they put this pressure. I got to get out of this slump.
And with what you've shared there, and this is what I failed to share earlier, is that I worked as a sports psychology consultant when I was in the Philippines.
Okay.
And though I cannot do that here because I don't have a license to be a psychology practitioner,
mm-hmm.
but when I go ahead and help people out from a mental training point of view, and that's something that I could go ahead and do.
Yeah.
So, yes, and that's what I tell people is that, look, especially in the pro level, the physical abilities are almost the same through and through.
Yeah.
But what will separate one from the other is the muscle, and mm-hmm. the most important muscle, which is on top of your head.
Yeah. LeBron James is a different story. He's, you know, I'd like to think that he was created in a lab. Like, he just has he has the body where he could play any sport and be just wildly successful at it. But, you know, Steph Curry, perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Steph Curry was supposed to be the guy that just had a good run in the NCAA tournament and then fade off.
Yep.
You know,
not even in a well-known school, program.
Yeah, he went to Davidson. Yeah. Oh, he's on a Cinderella team. He's the star. Oh, we'll let him go to the NBA just for fun, you know,
yes.
And then he's still here, you know, and he's still he used that.
And I think ESPN just identifies him as one of the game changers.
I think he is. Think he is, because he definitely, especially for his size.
Yes. So he's not physically imposing, but yet here he is as effective and efficient as possible. And yes, LeBron James seems to have been created in the lab. And I know if there's one of the complaints that you can have on him is his mental stamina and certain things. But the thing is, if he competed all this time at a high level.
Well, isn't that scary? Because I'm a firm believer that I think the thing he lacks in the most is his mental strength. And he's still arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. Could you imagine if you put a Kobe brain or a Michael brain in his body?
In his body, yeah.
Like, I mean, it's almost evening it out a little bit to make him not as mentally strong. Like, like God or whoever you believe in was like, all right, we need to calm down. You know, it's like, you know when you get video games and mm-hmm. you can create a player and you put him at 99 for everything, but you're like, all right, let me just calm down a little bit.
You just can't be perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm calling this right now. I know this is not Benchwarmers Redemption, but I'm calling Giannis right now. He could be there.
Giannis? Oh,
yeah,
I agree.
Because he's got the mentality there and he's got the physical skills.
Yeah, he's a killer. He is. I mean, I'm going to be interested in seeing what he does.
And how he progresses.
Or where he ends up. Because I think Milwaukee's done a great job to try and keep him there, but I just don't see it happening.
We will see. And for me, I don't care about where I don't care about franchises. I care more about athletes and where they are and what they do
Correct.
For the game.
Yes.
So now, let's go back to stress management.
Okay.
And you go ahead and deal with that. I can't speak for LeBron James or all these other athletes, is that they just need to go ahead and find ways on how to work with their stressors in order to perform optimally.
Yeah.
And no, you don't need to be an NBA player or PGA player and so on and so forth, is that, I mean, a putt is a putt. We do that in mini golf. We do it professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what goes through our head that will either make or break it.
Yep.
And so, to you listeners out there, sometimes if we are our own worst enemy, we have to go ahead and identify and find ways on how we can either lessen things down if it's not helping us, or increase the intensity if it's going to help us.
Yep.
All right. So, other types of stressors here. Can the season affect your well-being? Winter,
a
summer?
Season?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yes, no doubt. And obviously, now that we're recording this, so the spring is around the corner, it still feel chilly out there, but no doubt. And that's what it is. So if shorter days is impacting us in terms of well-being, And so that's why we need to go ahead and learn how to work with that. And then, and then if we have a tendency when it's cold, I don't know if you're like that, if it's cold, you don't want to do much physical activity or outside. Yeah. And obviously that's going to add more in terms of how we deal with our lives. And how about this one? Do you think values, thoughts, attitudes are parts of stressors that we need to go ahead and consider?
Yeah. I mean, I think personally, I think stress can come from anywhere. I mean, if you are, you know, I mean, right down to your ideology, you know, like, you know, if you are, this is what I believe in, but I'm not living to that, of course it's going to add stress to me. Or, you know, am I letting what I believe in down? Or am I letting who I believe in down? Or am I letting, you know, I mean, I think it, for me, when I was in high school, it's like, am I letting my friends down? Right. And then as you get older, I think you start to like wean your friends list down.
Yes.
And you start to realize like who are the real ones and who are the ones that are just like there because you see them every day in high school or whatever. And then when you find your significant other, I think a lot of stress could come from that just because it's the whole not knowing. It's like, I believe that my wife loves me. I believe that my girlfriend loves me, but I'm not in their head. And I've seen a ton of people overthink that to death and cause a stress for it. Nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
Their significant other is 1,000% about them. I can't wait till I get off work and I go see my husband, or I go see my wife, or I go see whatever, right? But your brain is just like, they're thinking about other people. They're thinking, you know, or like whatever. It's like, and it just, you can't, it's the not knowing. It's the not know. It's, you know.
And that's where we go back again, that these stressors are highly subjective. And that's why we have to go ahead and identify how we go ahead and work with them. And then just returning to the values, as you've identified, of letting other people down. So if you were able to listen to the podcast that we did with PA Dunn about the LGBTQ community, and then so we, and as I've shared, that we did change our forms with a preferred pronoun on it.
Yeah.
And then we had a patient just recently complain about it and said, yeah, I understand you need to be PC, meaning to be politically correct, but I don't give a bleep about this. And then I just shared, well, you're not required to answer that.
Yeah.
It's just a blank form.
Yeah.
It's not like we're going to treat you if that's blank.
Yeah.
And that's the thing in terms of values, is that again, if you return to that, and that's what we try to embody, is we just accept everyone, period. And if there are people who will be more comfortable that way, why can we not make it more comfortable to them that way?
Agreed.
But I understand others could be, why do you even have this question? And I understand that too.
Yeah. No, it's a slippery slope.
It is.
Because one, you're never going to make everybody happy.
Exactly.
And two is, you know, it's like, there's just people that believe what they believe, and then they're never going to veer from that. And because that happens, it's like, you know, you can do the best of your ability to just be like, this is why we did it.
Yes, exactly.
Know? But it's hard. I think is probably one of the hardest things about running a business. I've never ran a business myself, but you know, you live in a world where you can't please everybody. So what steps do I take where I can please the most?
Yes.
You know, it's like that would be a stress.
While still being true to yourself.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. And that's why one of the things here is about defending your ego or your values, is that how do you get to live it? And then at the same time, you know, make things work as much as possible. And then returning to what you said about choosing your friends, do you think social media and other social influences can add to your stress?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, I was fortunate enough where Facebook was very young while I was in high school, right? So I got to live my like college years, and it didn't turn to be as evil as it is today. I mean, it's good and bad, but I mean, Facebook or its social medias definitely have an evil and good element to them. But nowadays, I can't imagine. You have to be on your 100% at all times, and that would stress me out.
And that's the thing.
I'm rarely 100%.
Yeah. And you go ahead and identify what's really beneficial for you, and then And yes, as I'm the one taking care of most of our social media.
Yeah.
Speaking of eustress and distress, for me, I mean, I try to enjoy it, and I really try to highlight whatever we want to go ahead and highlight. But to be able to really make it work, it is work. It is
work. Am I getting enough likes? Yeah.
And I really try to go ahead and thank other people who are doing it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
They really have a lot of time in their hands.
They do. They do. I rarely post.
I have to go ahead and really put it there. Okay. I know we're about to go ahead and end the session here, but the other thing that I just want to focus is that we have to view stress management in four major aspects: the spiritual, the emotional, the mental and intellectual, and the physical well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're doing this for our practice of the physical well-being, because hence the physical therapist.
Yeah.
But that's why we're doing these stress management classes, is because that's where the mental and emotional will go ahead and come in.
Yeah.
That hopefully we could go ahead and help our community members in that way, and possibly even spiritual as well. And that's what it is in terms of spirituality. It doesn't necessarily mean that one religion is better than the other. It's more of where you are most comfortable with. And so for you listeners out there, you have to go in and really identify, how are you taking care of yourself with these aspects, the spiritual, the emotional, the mental, / intellectual, and the physical well-being. And if you think you can go ahead, and this is the other thing I want to go ahead and share to everyone, is that you don't have to have a major catastrophe to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we tell our patients, no, you don't have to have surgery just to go ahead and get physical therapy.
Yep.
We can do a prevention piece to go ahead and help you out. And again, this is something that we are just trying to share. And guess what? That's why we have this podcast that we are doing at ACC.
Well, I like to, the last thing I want to say is, so you know the drug Zicam? It's
go ahead, Karen.
So it's a pre-cold, right? So you feel like you're getting sick.
Okay.
And you do Zicam.
Okay.
And it's supposed to shorten or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, or possibly
it's a preemptive strike, if you may.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I like to think of stress that way. Is if you can, don't wait till you're completely stressed out to start addressing your stress. If you notice it, start to do some preemptive things to try and at least make it not rear as much of an ugly head as it can.
I am so happy that you brought that up, because definitely that's one of the things that we're going to talk more about with the stress management classes mm-hmm. that we have in our practice. And whenever we were able to allot another stress management session for these podcasts, absolutely. And I can't remember who said it, but there's somebody, a former president identified the failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
Yeah.
And that, I think, hopefully summarizes with what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you bottle things down and then you explode. So if you bottle things down and try and work at getting that out before there's more and more just pressing on top, you have a better chance.
Yes, yes. So, all right. Well, again, thank you for listening to this program. If you have any questions, feel free to go ahead and give us a call at 443-979-7171. And as we try to be more informative with our social media outlets, so feel free to go ahead and listen in to what we go ahead and do there in terms of Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. And you may also text us at 443-961-6523. Again, that's 443-961-6523. And then we'll see you again in our next program.